Good evening. It's good to see you all here this evening. My name's Russell Nell. I'm part of the leadership team at Longmeadow Church, which is hosting this evening. You're very welcome. I'm just going to talk for 5 minutes on the subject that we've got for this evening, and there'll be more opportunity for you to chat about what I've said, either with me or with others around your table afterwards. We're very grateful again to the Costa staff for staying open for you. Thank you very much. I hope you've enjoyed your coffees so far. This evening we're thinking about the question, how do we fix the world? Which is a nice short subject to cover in about 5 minutes, isn't it? No problem at all. Maybe I'll write a book after this. But if you type, how do you fix the world, into Google, which is always a great place to go for information, of course, it's utterly reliable, there are plenty of hits that come up when you type it in. Lots of suggestions about what you might do, what we might do to fix the world, some of which I think are probably more helpful than others. So I went through a few of them. So on page one of Google Hits, about the third one down when I did it the other day, we get theatlantic.com, which suggests 15 ways to fix the world. Well, that's not bad. I mean, that's quite ambitious, isn't it? 15 ways. But if we can do it in 15 ways, great. The trouble is, that includes the globe-transforming end the vice presidency. That will instantly fix the world, because apparently the office is a waste of time. If we abolish the US vice presidency, everything will be fine. And then it's followed up with redesign the dollar. Not revalue the dollar or reshape the American economy or any of those things. No, redesign the dollar. Make it look different and that'll fix the world. I'm not entirely convinced about that. Of course, the answer to our question, how do we fix the world, depends a lot on what we think the problem is. So elsewhere on Google, page one, we have explainingthefuture.com. And there we're told of 7 ways to fix the world. Well, that's a little bit easier, isn't it? Just the 7 ways to fix the world. All of which are those things centre on how we treat the environment and the harm that we cause it by our lifestyles today. And to be honest, it didn't really surprise me when I looked through those pages that the environment featured quite so high up. It's a big issue that we're thinking through a lot, aren't we, about how we deal with the environment. But I suspect that most people would see more to the issue of how we fix the world than just the environment and what's going on. I think I wouldn't be alone in saying that the issue at heart to think about is not primarily about how we treat the world, although that is significant, but ultimately it's about how we treat one another, isn't it? When we look at the world around today, that's the big issue, how we treat one another. The issues of suffering and poverty and abuse and neglect are interpersonal things between individuals, and it's those things that really blight the world that we live in. Those are the things that we really think need fixing. Which brings me to a third Google link, to an article in the Washington Post from December 2013 reviewing a new book which was all about how to fix the world and dealing with its problems. Let me read you the opening couple of paragraphs to that article. It goes like this: the cover of Wired magazine's December issue inspires me, but it also stresses me out. Guest editor Bill Gates wants you to fix the world, it proclaims. Then it gives you 3 ambitions: big ideas, smart innovation, bright future. And then next it gives you 3 commands: end poverty, save lives, cure disease. Well, the reviewer goes on, I read magazines and books to learn how other people are making the world a better place. And now it's up to me. I mean, I appreciate the vote of confidence, but that's a lot of pressure. Especially because it's no longer just about volunteering on weekends or giving to charity. You can't end poverty and cure disease in your spare time. No, unless you're constantly innovating, disrupting, problem solving, life teaching, starting up and spinning off, you're missing out on the solution revolution. That's the title and ethos of a new book by management consultants William D. Egger and Paul McMillan, and the review continues of that particular book. Well, that book is obviously quite a challenging one, isn't it? This is how you change the world. But I want you to notice there the candidly honest and revealing response by the particular reviewer. I read magazines and books to learn how other people are making the world a better place. And now it's up to me. You see, this book is calling for a total lifestyle change, basically. And the reviewer is all of a sudden a bit reluctant, wants to step back. Because the first concern that he honestly says comes into his head is, what's this going to mean for me? Or more precisely, what's this going to cost me? See, rather than enthusiasm at an opportunity which this book says to fix the world, the first thought that comes to his mind is, how is this going to make life harder for me? In much the same way that I suspect that when we go to a price comparison website to find our latest great deal for our electricity and our gas, we're more drawn instantly, aren't we, to the cheaper prices rather than the green tariffs, which would protect the environment. And I think often when the issue of fair trade goods comes up, our first thought is about price and what's it going to cost. See, and there I think we see the problem to be fixed in this world. And it's me. It's us. See, worker rights are abused in the world because companies want big profits. Oh, it's all their fault. But no, it's also because I want cheap clothes and cheap food. And closer to home, I snap at my wife one afternoon, because she's not because she's done anything wrong, but actually because I stayed up late last night playing a computer game and I'm tired and irritable this morning, and so therefore I went off on one at her. From the smallest of things to the greatest, I put myself first. Whether it be what I want to spend on clothes or what I want to do with my time. And there are consequences for that, for the world as a whole and for those around me. You can educate me to your heart's content, should you wish to. You can provide for me. You can help me think through my actions. And all those are good things to do and important things to do. But that doesn't stop me from doing stupid, hurtful things. I know this from experience. It doesn't stop me putting myself first. That's what I automatically do. And I think, if we're honest, putting ourselves first lies behind the problems of this world. Self first for a little more comfort. Self first for a slightly easier life. Self first to keep me happy, because after all, you've got to look after number one, haven't you? Because who else is going to do it? Not that we don't do good things. We could all look back on good things that we've done in this past week with someone else, but that's not ultimately who comes first. It's me. And the thing is, that's the diagnosis that Jesus gives of humanity in one of his Gospels, in the book of Mark, in chapter 7. You're welcome to take one of these away at the end if you want to look it up. He's addressing the respectable religious leaders of the time, the ones everyone looked up to, the good people, and his own followers, when he talks about what's wrong with humanity. And he says humanity's problem is inside. It's from what comes out that is the problem. Not what goes in. That we don't need a simple debugging patch to fix us, to put us on the right lines. He says, no, we need total reprogramming. We need a total reprogram. We don't just need better opportunities or more education, although those things are good. Ultimately, says Jesus, you and I need transformation. We need to be transformed. That ultimately, the world is broken because we are broken. And that diagnosis rings true to me as I look out on the world, and more importantly, when I look at myself. Again, not that I don't do good things, but too often I don't, and too easily I don't. But the good news is that Jesus doesn't end with that diagnosis of humanity and then walk away. This is what you're like, goodbye. Instead, Jesus offers that transformation that we need. He doesn't simply offer us an example to follow, this is how to be good, because the truth is that I can't do that. Not all the time. No matter how hard I try, I do good things, but not all the time and far from it. My broken programming takes over, and I put myself first. In the end, I would argue, we can't fix the world. I can't fix the world, because I can't fix me. But God can fix us. And that's the great hope that he offers. That's what the Christian faith is all about. It's about transformation. It's about a fresh start. It's about a new beginning. It's about a new heart. It's about being offered hope. Because God himself in Jesus came to be part of the broken world and to walk amongst us. And he experienced the worst that it could happen and more in his death on the cross. But that wasn't the end of the story. that he rose from the dead to offer forgiveness for our failings, for my failings, and new life, a fresh start for the future, a hope for what lies ahead. Well, I hope that's given you a few thoughts to mull over as you finish your coffee and you chat over your tables. I'd be happy to talk with you further on the subject. You can come and chat to me some more, or talk with those that you've already been chatting with beforehand. There are some copies of some books you take away if you'd be interested. There's a couple of copies of Mark's Gospel. Feel free to take one of those away for free. And there's also some others, slightly more glossy looking, of Luke's Gospel. You're welcome to take those. And another couple of leaflets that just explain some of what I've been talking about. If you'd like to grab one of those, there's a pile over there, and there'll be a pile by the door. Do feel free to take one as you go. It's a great opportunity just to read one of these Gospels for yourself as an adult and make your own mind up on who this Jesus is and what he's come to do.